Welcome back to the...
Say it. Your turn. Say it.
That was Ranks and Bullets.
I can't even follow with that. To the S Rank Supports podcast. Your name is...
Gamer Supreme.
So menacing.
Why are you laughing at me?
I don't know. It's so menacing. It just, it's so boomy.
It picks up my bass.
I'm Cy Anderson.
What are we talking about?
Talking about Astral Chain.
No, we're not.
We're not?
Yeah, we are. No, I'm just messing with you. We're talking about Astral Chain. on our for our second game swap, this is what I gave to you. We're gonna do our best to. It's been a while since either of us have played it. Me longer, mm-hmm. So we're gonna do our best to talk about it.
We'll bring it back. We just gotta get the ball rolling.
But yeah, this is the game. This is the game I assigned to you. Overall, I mean, I don't wanna call you like picky or anything, but you got a distinguished taste. You know what you like and you know what you don't like. So I was trying to pick
from... I have distinguished taste.
I was trying to pick from what I've played that, like, figured you'd like and or find interesting.
See, we got to talk about that and later. Because you got to broaden my horizons, man. This is an opportunity for you to be like, oh, you like JRPGs?
Boom.
Pikmin.
Don't spoil it. You got. Oh, you're going to play Pikmin. Oh. I'm going to make you play Pikmin.
At some point.
Pikmin enlightened me. I'm enlightened.
That's menacing. I'm going to make you play Pikmin.
but yeah, I don't know. Astral Chain came out in 2019. It was kind of just one of those. The Nintendo Switch is like the first console that like I've been like fully like up to date on what's happening with it since launch. And Astral Chain was like one of those games that I saw released. And I was like, oh, that looks really cool. I could tell that it was the kind of thing that like I was gonna have zero friends that had played it. Like this was the type of game where I was like, it's exclusively for the Switch. I thought it looked cool. It looks kind of niche, so I wanted to check it out. And yeah, I just thought it was like, I think I liked it mostly for aesthetics. I thought it was aesthetically very cool, and I liked the art style and the combat as well. I thought was very cool. I just thought the idea of having these, you know, the trailers showed off the legions that we'll talk about, you know, these like super cool weapons that you get to control. And so I just thought the game looked really cool, and it looked like this niche exclusive thing, and I wanted to support Nintendo, I guess. It's kind of the phase I was in. Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
support Nintendo.
Support, yeah. Woo.
Support Nintendo.
I don't know. It feels kind of goofy.
They need
to
more
say.
Money.
Yeah, well, not anymore. They don't. But
I think they're doing okay.
But yeah, so talk to me a little bit. What did you think about the game? What did you enjoy? What did you not like? I know you took extensive notes. So
it was a good game. It was a good game, and it was better than I thought it would be. Honestly, I remember.
Well, let's stop right there. Hold on. I'm going to interrupt you. Stop right there. What did you think about it? But what were you expecting?
What I think before.
What were you expecting?
I don't know.
This guy, Cy, always gives me crap.
I was thinking a dick.
I can't believe I'm playing this crap. It looks so dumb. That's what you were thinking. I'm going to stop interrupting you.
I don't know. I just thought it was going to be some sort of like discount JRPG with mediocre combat. I don't know. I looked at it and I was like, this gives me Harvestella vibes. You ever play Harvestella?
I haven't played
it. You know what game that is?
Yeah, I know what you're talking
about.
That
game is garbage. So something about me is if I play something, I see it through to the end, no matter how much I hate it. Mm-hmm. Unicorn Overlord, didn't like it. Played 200 hours of it. Like, right. I stick things out to the end. I want this to be engraved on my gravestone when I die, you know?
Okay. Noted.
I had to drop Harvestella. So when I looked at Astral Chain, I was like, I don't know. This could go either way. Obviously, I'm going to see it to the end purely because my friend recommended this to me. Mm-hmm. And then I started playing it. I was like, wow, this is a lot of fun. This is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
The combat I guess for it being a Platinum Games title, I mean, that I guess that had to have been expected. But the combat is just so fun. The way they integrate like this novel idea of, like, first of all, it was a world building thing. I thought it was just a narrative tool at first. Like, all right, you got a legion, you got a chain on them because we can't let them escape, you know, because they're inherently evil creatures. And then you break into combat and it's, you know, they integrate the chain.
Right.
They integrate the legion. There are different legion types. The cop has like three different items you can switch between. They give you all these fun tools to inject variety into your combat and your gameplay. Right. And I just thought that was so fun, especially when you get like the cat, the beast, I think it's called the Beast Legion.
Yeah.
Which has an ability that like electrifies the chain. Yeah. And I was just like, the way they set up some enemies you can counter specifically with the chain, if you're like positioned your legion and you can like yank it together, like it felt so immersive almost. Yeah. I guess it almost takes me back to like Final Fantasy 15, where it just, it felt good to throw the sword and then teleport to it.
Yeah.
Like it just felt good. But on top of that, it's a very established combat system with some really good enemy design, which I think Platinum Games can be hit or miss with. Mm. But oh man, I was thoroughly impressed.
Yeah.
Once I started playing. Thoroughly impressed. Yeah.
Yeah. So it kind of wasn't this thing where like the chain or whatever wasn't just like this arbitrary like story thing going on that then they arbitrarily implement into the combat. It was, I think, I mean, you already talked about it, but I think like my favorite part about the combat is how you just feel cool while you're doing, you're pulling off these moves.
Oh,
the chain feels cool. I was kind of impressed that they managed to make it not feel super clunky to be controlling your player character and the Legion at the same time. I was kind of impressed with that.
It's in addition to that, like, idea, like when you're walking around the city, like the controls aren't the smoothest.
Mm-hmm.
They're not really the smoothest. I wouldn't describe these controls as buttery, but you go into a combat scenario and somehow your Legion and your character are doing exactly what you tell them to do. And you very quickly figure out spacing.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe this is just something Platinum Games has figured out, but especially for back in 2019, it's been 5 years now.
Mm-hmm.
There's a certain level of precision that I really admired with the controls. And I think knowing that that precision was there was really what let me relax almost and be like, yeah, I can have fun with this because it feels good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think, I mean, by the end of the game, you have what, like all five legions or whatever. And at that point, you're able to like zip, you're able to change between them. And like, I mean, it's been a while, so you'll have to remind me, but the combat isn't necessarily super combo based. It's more about timing with the enemies and just pulling off cool moves with the legions you're using, right?
Yeah, it's pulling off cool moves. The game rewards you for variety, I noticed. So your score, when they rank you at the end of every scenario or chapter, they give you big bonus points for like using all three of like the player's weapons or switching between two or three different legions and or spamming like six different abilities, you know. They're checking like, are you actually switching your legion? Are you spamming this one move over and over again? You know,
because
they're looking for variety, which is very much that sort of Devil May Cry Bayonetta idea.
Yeah, I was just gonna say,
really mastered all those, you know, the different things you can do and employ them at the right times.
Yeah,
is what they're looking for.
Yeah, I was just about to say. I mean, I think you recently beat Bayonetta, right? I haven't beat Bayonetta, but I know that the scoring system in there is all about like the actual like, we just keep bringing up Final Fantasy 15, but I think in Final Fantasy 15, after a combat, you could get a finesse score, right? It's like, it's all the scoring system is all about like,
dude,
how,
I forgot about
the artistry of like how you do the combat. Which is exactly.
Yeah, it's a Platinum Games Devil May thing, Cry, I guess. I read somewhere that like Devil May Cry was, I think in Devil May Cry 5, they keep track of like the last 9 moves that you've used.
Then
if you repeat any, it starts to become a detriment to your score. If you repeat it too much, they really start docking you. But they keep like the last 9, and then when you insert a 10th, that last one gets taken off the list, and then it's a fresh move again. So if you memorize 10 different moves and just rotate through them systematically, technically you're guaranteed a good score.
Yeah.
But the point is that they are really keeping track of like what you're using.
Yeah, they want you to mix it up.
Freshen up your kit. Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah. Now that kind of makes me want to look up some like Devil May Cry completionist videos or something to see these people like absolutely destroy enemies.
I would absolutely, I would love to give that to you for a game swap, but I've given you a different combat game, so I think it'll have to wait for the sake of variety.
Yeah, I gotta,
but getting back to Astral Chain, I was very surprised that it was, it felt as good as it did. And again, I thought the name of the game, Astral Chain, I just thought they were sticking two cool words together so that they could get Americans to play their game. Like, you know, because that's like the JRPG thing to do.
Yeah, a little bit.
But yeah, it was very, but no, everything kind of centered around the fact that this beast was chained to you. And it was all about that interaction. And I'm just like, this is so unique.
Yeah.
So
unique. Yeah. I feel like the combat is definitely like the highlight of the game, you know, walking around. I feel like a lot of the walking around stuff is kind of fluff. I mean, there's ways to interact with the world and like side quests, and you're like picking up the red matter or whatever with your Legion character. And there's a couple of like platforming sections, which I always thought were kind of weird. It just seemed like another thing to do with the chain. You're just like putting them out onto a platform and then yanking yourself back or whatever. I think that, I remember those being the most frustrating.
Because there's some where they want you to like wrap the chain around a pillar so that your Legion can pull you somewhere. And I would hit the most random pebble that for some reason had a collider on it.
Right.
And then my character would go flying off the edge of the universe. And I'm like, what part of this was supposed to be fun?
Yeah. I remember, I think there was one, there was like a hidden item around a corner or something like that. And you're supposed to, you can't control where your player character then lands back on the ground. So I put my Legion out on the platform, like perfectly in the middle. But then when I'd yank myself, I'd fall off the edge or whatever.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't actually on the platform.
Character, it goes up to the Legion, but not at the Legion.
Yeah.
And so I would, a lot of times I would put my Legion at the edge of a platform, like, that's enough. And then he would pull me right to the edge, and my character would drop straight down. And I would be like, well, whoops, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a little bit of fluff. I feel like it's not super necessary, but
it is kind of clunky at times, ironically. I do want to talk about, because this is something that I enjoyed quite a lot, was the policing, like the investigation mechanics. And like when you show up to every chapter, I think has like an investigation, you show up to a crime scene or whatever, and you need to get to the bottom of something that happened, and they integrate the Legion into that gameplay. If you need to track someone, you got to take out the Beast Legion and sniff it, or you know, to track where someone may have gone. If you need to take out like the Axe Legion or something like that to like break down huge barricades that are in your way. And you can actually, what I loved about the investigations particularly was the integration of the Legions into those systems as well.
Yeah.
And just walking around and taking like police notes of like, you know, eyewitness accounts of something that happened so that you could go figure out what to do. I really enjoyed, because that, I was not expecting that with this game. Like, I know they're police officers. I just thought that was narrative fluff so that you could and be in combat all the time. But no, there's actually an investigation system. And I enjoy that a surprising amount. Only towards the second half did I feel like, okay, now it's starting to get in the way, because it's not, they didn't expand on that at all. The combat, they're giving you legions, new moves, skill trees. Investigations, it's the same thing, you know, until maybe you get a new Legion, which maybe lets you do, you know, one additional thing in, sure. in terms of like the investigation side. But something I finally kind of look back on was some of the earlier investigations and tracking evil chimeras or something like that, that yeah. had like come from the astral plane into the real world, looking into that, getting eyewitness attempts, kind of being quizzed on it afterwards by your partner. I wish they fleshed that out more.
Yeah.
I wish, because it really did make me feel like a dystopian, futuristic police officer.
Yeah.
And I thought that was unprecedented for this game, because all they established the combat was great, and then I start doing this investigation stuff. I'm like, I'm having a blast.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know, getting best of both worlds.
Yeah. That's kind of like the B game, like, you know, within the game, I guess. Yeah. Yeah, adding the exploration stuff in. I mean, the whole exposition for, like, the story or whatever is, I mean, in some way, it's not a mystery game, like, necessarily, but, I mean, the whole thing is there's these astral rifts and, you know, you're working for a scientist who's trying to figure out what's going on or whatever. So, like, yeah, your character's role in of itself is, like, an investigator. Yeah, it's kind of cool. I mean, I remember finding it, like, a little bit, like, silly, like, practically that, like, you use these like monsters to like go really? Do tasks for you. I mean, like, just like just a little humorous in concept, but like I thought it was really fun and like it worked. I do agree, like, it could have been fleshed out. I think later in the game it kind of feels like you're just doing the same order of things for just to figure out what's going on and like progress to the next level or whatever. But yeah, I mean, the more legions you have, the more options you have. It incorporates, you know, a level of thinking. You have to actually be problem solving, and in that way, it kind of becomes a puzzle a little bit as to what you're supposed to do, instead of just like constantly walking through the area and picking up this thing and picking up that thing, just waiting for the next battle to happen.
Right.
Yeah, a little bit of a world building thing. Also, like, I mean, aesthetically, like, I just like, I mean, the city areas you're in themselves, like, aren't necessarily like super detailed. It's not like you're walking up to like the side of a building and there's different shops you can see or people inside of them or anything like that. But like, yeah, I don't know. I just love the like whole like tech sci-fi futuristic vibe going on. It's very cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It's got a great aesthetic. I found that the world was very pretty a lot of the time. I almost felt sort of bad when I was pulled into the astral plane because the astral plane was always the same thing.
Yeah.
It was like red and black.
All right. Yeah.
Bugging out platforms like everywhere. And that was all of it. And that was like the second half of like almost all the chapters or something. It was a very substantial portion of the game. And I was like, well, this is not nearly as detailed, you know, as the big grand cityscape is. But I think while the narrative is not anything, I think, remarkable,
I'd agree.
The city and a general aesthetic were very, very pleasing. I remember when the protagonist chooses to go to like the Undercity or like in disguise they go to like the other city, or it's like some sort of I guess, for lack of I don't, you know, some neglected part of town,
sure,
you know, in order to go look for answers that they weren't getting up, you know, up top, and just being introduced to that, there's a big kind of like art shift. I felt like oh, now this is very much not a city, like this is very run down, but still kept me in the same like universe, and it felt like a whole new world, and I was like, whoa, you know.
Yeah, it makes it feel a little more real,
really digging it.
These different areas, different cultures of the world going on.
Which is surprising, because I, you know, again, the narrative is not complicated. You know, it's a very straightforward kind of narrative. But they somehow create incredible, like, world-building interest, you know, just through the art. And I think that's nothing to scoff at, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of just rare these days for anytime you hear a developer announcing, like, a new IP in general is, like, kind of surprising with how, like, game budgets and stuff and development time goes. And so, like, yeah, they definitely like took a chance with the game, and I think last I heard it performed pretty well. It sold pretty well. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What do you think? Is there anything else you're thinking about with the game? If you had to, would you recommend the game? Your favorite thing about it was the combat. Who might you recommend it to? Anything like that? Did I pick a shit game for you? Excuse me. Language.
No, it was a great game recommendation. I'm really glad I got to play it. I am noticing that on the Wikipedia page, it was directed by previous lead game designer for Nier Automata.
Okay.
Under supervision by Devil May Cry and Bayonetta series creator Hideki Kamiya.
Oh, that checks out.
It does check out because those are similar titles.
Yeah.
But I find it interesting because I feel like there was much more, again, going back to this idea that we started with at the beginning where the combat was like integrated with kind of the story, or this idea of like being centered around the chain.
Mm-hmm.
It felt very like focused.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess almost tactical, but when I play like Nier Automata, for example, I find that to be fascinating because I always thought Nier Automata's combat was like something to have just to have it, because you really play that game for like the story, mm-hmm. you know, and the aesthetic of the game.
Sure.
And it was just kind of maybe something to do while the characters like talked, as all like alter into some enemies.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't feel as grounded as like Astral Chains did, which I thought was, which I think is something that Astral Chain did really, really well.
Yeah.
I do have. Oh.
Well.
I don't know how long it's been for you, but do you remember, can you describe to me what your experience was like with the final boss of Astral Chain?
I don't remember super well. I remember that at the very end they introduced the like fusion hybrid thing, because you like your like compatibility with the legions, you end up fusing into this thing. And isn't the whole, I mean, it's just like a giant, he's just like a giant, because isn't the whole thing he's trying to put in, the scientist dude, spoilers, is trying to put himself into a giant dude.
Yeah,
I don't remember. I mean, maybe the fact that I don't remember it is an indication. Yeah. I feel like I don't remember it being like super awesome.
Yeah,
do you remember a little bit more about it?
I do remember it, because that knocked a whole point off my ranking for that game.
Oh, really?
Because I hated the final boss, because I was having a good time. I don't think I ever saw the game over screen until I got to the final boss, and then I got intimately familiar with what the game over screen looked like.
Gotcha.
Like, the difficulty spike was crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy frustrating. And it felt like it came out of nowhere. And I was like, this is just not the right note to end the game on.
Yeah.
So I was just curious if you remember that or had a similar experience. Because I don't know what I was missing.
It's ringing a bell now.
But I was struggling.
Remember. Yeah.
I was struggling with that fight.
Yeah.
But yeah, unnecessary difficulty spike at the end, in my opinion. But the fusion thing, it's funny you bring that up, because I kind of forgot about that, was the main characters can like fuse with their legion to become something like super strong, and mm-hmm. it's a point of like narrative contention as well at some point.
Yeah.
And that fusion is like exactly what they do with Dante and Nero in the Devil May Cry.
Oh, really?
Series. Okay. Like, that is the exact mechanic.
Maybe I need to play that then,
where you like build up the charge. You would see so many similarities.
Okay,
you know?
Interesting.
But they build up a charge and then fuse with like their demon self or something, you know, something like that. And then they're crazy. At that point, it's like hack and slash, because you're like, you're absolutely tearing up the field. You
Got
know, trade off being you can only do it for like 10 seconds. But
yeah, that's a funny
coincidence. When they did the fusion thing, I was like, oh my God, this is just.
Yeah. You're like, I've played this before.
Which is so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I forget what year Devil May Cry 5 was, but I'm pretty sure that fusion mechanic was introduced.
Okay. Interesting. And it was the same director as Astral Chain?
Similar. Yeah, was it? It had supervision by Devil May Cry series creator Hideki.
Gotcha.
So I don't know. That may or may not be related in any way. They both came out in 2019.
Okay. Fascinating.
Fascinating.
Yeah. And that's amazing that you had. Yeah, Devil May Cry 5. Maybe that has to be on the list, but.
Yeah, we'll get there eventually. But yeah, it's kind of fun. It's funny how many like similarities it has to Bayonetta, Devil May Cry.
Yeah,
they're all in that very similar vein.
Yeah.
But yeah, you mentioned one of your favorite things being like the city cyberpunk, aesthetic as it's described.
I'm just a sucker for that stuff, man.
Just a sucker for it.
I don't know why.
Have you played? Remind me, have you played Cyberpunk?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Not yet. I bought it when it came out. Well, a little after it came out. That game, it's funny because that game
probably wasn't working at that point.
No, well, I never booted it up. I mean, it's a great game now, apparently, but I wasn't planning on buying it. And then it got so bad that I was like, I actually want to buy this simply because this now has historical relevance as being one of the worst game releases of all time. So I was like, that feels so sad, but that's why I bought it.
So funny.
Yeah. No intention of playing it when I had bought it, but now I want to.
Just like a history piece.
A little bit. Yeah. It's kind of sad. That's so, yeah.
I guess one of the last things I wanted to mention with Astral Chain was the sound design.
Mm-hmm.
I was thoroughly impressed. Rarely do I play a game and be like, that sound design goes above and beyond. Or like, wow, that is really good. Or that sounds very good.
Yeah.
Because some people say that a good sound design is like sound design no one notices.
Sure. Yeah.
Like if it's good, you don't notice it, right? But this is like one of the few times I noticed it and I was like, I'm noticing it because it is like incredibly good. Things feel very, very good. They have it's coming back to me. They have like a cinematic finish in Astral Chain where there's almost like a short quick time event.
Yeah,
where they're like super low on health and then you hit like two buttons at the right time and that's like the final like tug that the hero gives it with their legion.
Yeah.
And they just shatter and the sound that plays with the chain wrapping around and then tugging it and it exploding is like
Everything's very punchy and crisp.
Very punchy, very satisfying. So another major highlight. I just enjoy listening to that.
Yeah. Yeah. I kinda wish I'd play through the game again. Can experience what you're experiencing. It's been a while.
I know it's been a while. Yeah. But good, great game, Rick. Very happy I played it.
Good. I'm glad
when
to hear
I
it.
Finished it, I was in a mentality of like, oh, I got to keep going. Like I had a laundry list of games.
Yeah.
I was cranking them out.
Yeah.
And when I got to the end of Astral Chain, I was like, ooh, I do not want to leave this spot.
Yeah,
like,
cool.
I want to go back. I want to do it on the ultimate difficulty or whatever.
Yeah.
I want challenge myself. I felt like I hadn't mastered Legion switching and all the abilities. And so for a game to say, for me to, you know, to tell me like, hey, stick around, buddy.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, stay a while.
Right.
You know, it was a good feeling because I very much had that with this game.
That's always
and
like
I think
a desirable bittersweet feeling for sure.
Yeah. And I think Platinum Games, that arcade style of ranking kind of lends itself well to high replayability.
Yeah.
Because you want to go back, you want to get a higher score. You want to see what they're rewarding you for and you want to master
totally agree.
The gameplay. And it was very much like they challenged me just enough. I felt like the difficulty until the final boss was always fine-tuned. Like enemies had like a lot of health but not too much. They weren't sandbags. Controls were fast but not too quick, you know, that you were just shredding people, you know, to no end. So and I think in that regard the balance of it, the aesthetic, the the way the story wasn't remarkable, but it held my interest. Mm-hmm. I was like, when we went to the Undercity or whatever, I was like, ooh, I want to know where this goes.
Yeah.
Sound design was always punchy. Like, this game is built on strong pillars.
Yeah.
And I feel like I really appreciated that.
Yeah.
You know,
super so cool. Good. Yeah. I agree.
Good wreck. Yeah. Good wreck.
Yeah. We'll just hope for it. I mean, it sold plenty. So let's hope for Astral Chain 2, maybe.
Astral Chain. Well, they do. I don't know if you remember, they leave the ending wide open.
Do they? Okay.
Yeah. I was like, what am I missing? Because I thought there was an epilogue or something. Okay. But the ending, they leave the ending wide open.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty strategic then for if you're trying to do a sequel or not. Then you can or you don't have to, and it's fine either way. Yeah.
I guess that's a whole nother conversation. It's when does that become frustrating? Oh, podcast idea.
Oh, write that down. Write that down.
Oh.
Well, awesome, man. Yeah, glad you liked the game. We'll have to think about what I'm giving to you next. Ooh, see what
that's
I did
right, because I don't think. To me?
Come on.
Hey, I got there eventually.
You got it there. Okay. Yeah, to you.
To me.
To you.